You are listening to the Hodges Huddle, where we discuss all things in the wide world of sports. Here is your KLSU sports team.
Welcome into the Hodges Huddle. I'm your host, Andre Champagne, and today I'm joined by Michael Poggi and Jaden Smith. Yo. Gentlemen, how are we doing after last night? I know it was a little tough to watch.
Yeah, it's not a calm little Tuesday, everybody. It's just Tuesday.
Breaking
it's Tuesday.
News.
I'm sorry, y'all.
Not a calm little Tuesday.
Yeah. Dang. I apologize, everybody, but we'll
we're
try
starting
again next
off
week.
On the wrong foot, man.
Yeah. Wow. Just yeah. Just to get through it. I mean, we actually don't have that many notes on LSU Iowa because we're going more into depth with the Iowa UConn matchup.
Yeah.
But dude, Caitlin Clark.
Stud.
Might be the best college basketball player of all time. Well,
stud
basketball player of all time. You don't even think she's the best women's basketball player of all time?
No, I don't. And I actually feel pretty strongly about that.
One.
I just don't think it's her.
Parker?
I think you could put Candace Parker up there. You could put Breonna Stewart up there. Cheryl Cooper, Lisa Leslie, Kelsey Plum. Like, there's a lot of players. Like, I don't think it's just wrong to say that, but
I mean, I
just have a problem.
I think it's definitely debatable for sure, but I mean,
sure, but I just have this
with the way that she's been playing, man. I feel like it's hard to argue against.
I mean, yeah, I just don't think people should just like anoint her because there are some people like that. It's just like not a conversation to be had, but that's all.
I just don't understand how she scores like 20 points against West Virginia and things like that. But anyway, we're wrapping up with college basketball for the season. As next podcast, it's going to be pretty much
that'll be it.
Baseball and golf after that.
Sweet.
Yeah. But pretty much men and women's Final Fours will take place this upcoming weekend. We're going to focus on just those matchups with our predictions. So we're going to start with the men's side. Men's Final Four, this weekend, UConn defeated Illinois after going on a 30-2 run to start the second half, and they sure look like the defending national champions.
Mm-hmm.
On the same side of the bracket, Alabama defeated Clemson in a really entertaining game, just offensive heavy from Mark Sears and Bama, three-point shooting once again. That's just their style, man.
Yeah.
So let's talk about this matchup first. It will be the second game on Saturday, but like I said, I think this is going to be the best game of the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
First off, what is Bama going to have to do on the defensive end to stop such a skilled offense with so much movement from UConn?
I think a very important thing, and I know this sounds very textbook, but I think they're going to have to do a good job at fighting through screens and really getting through screens. UConn is just a really fundamentally sound technical team. They're like a well-oiled machine, man.
Yeah.
And it's just clear as day. And the reason they're so good is because they do all of the small things very well. That's that's really just the difference maker on top of that with the talent that they already have. So I think they have to do a good job at getting through those screens and disrupting a lot of their timing because that's really what opens up a lot of their offense. And then they get fast break opportunities. And then after you know it, teams have started tapping out.
Yeah, I mean,
so
look at that Illinois game,
exactly.
For example.
So I just think that's going to be play a big factor in how Alabama fares in this matchup.
My thing is the glass. I think Alabama is really going to have to control the glass, especially on the defensive end.
Mm-hmm.
They can't be allowing UConn to getting offensive rebounds and second chance, third chance opportunities when you never know that the first one is probably going to go in.
Yeah.
So I think on the glass is really where they need to be. They need to be unified as a defensive unit. Like you said, that they love to do off-ball screens, back cuts, all that stuff. So they need to be
it's
talking.
So much movement.
And like you said, it's fundamentals, but and it sounds a little cliche, but you know,
it's true.
It's true. You have to really do the simple things right against a team like UConn. And honestly, Grant Nelson. Grant Nelson, if you want to make a name for yourself, big fella, this is the game to do it. And I think you have a really really great opportunity to do so.
Will you crumble or will you fold? I mean, will you fold or will you perform under pressure, Grant Nelson? But I think Alabama's going to, like Jaden said, they're going to have to switch carefully.
Yeah.
With all the screens that Hurley loves to use around the floor, players can easily get lost in their assignments, and you kind of saw that against Clemson where P.J. Hall just got what he wanted in that game. And I think that's going to be key to winning this game. If they can get on top of the screens, and pretty much if you want to just watch Iowa-LSU film, get over the screens. Don't go under.
Yeah.
Never go under a screen. when you have a guy like Mark Sears. I mean, not Mark Sears, but Tristan Newton, a guy that can get hot from behind the arc. So it's just about being physical and disrupting that offensive game plan for UConn if you are Alabama. Because we've seen shades of UConn being slow on offense. I mean, it's definitely happened this year. Obviously not many times, but they have shown that they can be slow on offense. And I think Alabama's physical enough to go and kind of do that to them. But should Alabama be worried about having to contain UConn center Donovan Klingon, who is the tallest center they've seen so far in the tournament?
Man, I just think they need to get big, and they just need to rebound and hope they miss some shots. But with Klingon, I really don't think you need to necessarily be worried, but definitely have him circled.
Right.
It's not really. It's not necessarily. Shiver. It's not really all this whole scared thing. But you got to have your eye on him, and that's why I'm saying like rebound. He's in my opinion, he's their best player. He's their best player, and he's very big, and he's really just Grant Nelson. You're just going to need to step up, and you're just going to have to stay on him, get bigger than him, be big, even if you're not. You know what I mean?
Grant Nelson, exactly. Very scary. Right. Like not even like sneaky. He's got good vert. What do you think, Jaden?
Yeah, I agree. And, yeah, not in the literal sense of, like, being scared, but you know what you're up against.
Yeah.
And I mean, Grant Nelson has pretty good size himself, too. I mean, Donovan's, what, 7'2"? Grant Nelson is 6'11". I mean, maybe 7 feet on a good day. Right. But I will say, I saw Will Baker give Grant Nelson problems, and I saw him make Grant look like a cone. I think Will Baker had, like, 22 at half when they played him here in the PMAC, and that's just Will Baker. Now, I'm not saying that that's going to happen again.
I mean, you're not lying, brother.
But
man, why are we hating on Will Baker?
I think that's something that, like I said, like they know what they're up against.
The flaws are pointed out.
The flaws are there. So, and a guy like this, you really just have to get into his chest and I guess try to frustrate him and disrupt him as much as you can. Because when you're up against guys that are just physically imposing against you, like that's really all you can really hope to do.
Yeah, and I think that's the biggest question of the night for Alabama. This is something like you really haven't had much experience with in terms of facing like height like that. Like P.J. Hall was a 6'10 guy, and he was still kind of dominating Grant Nelson. Now, Grant Nelson's defensive capabilities are all there. The guy can get blocks, but he's going to have to play like he's bigger. Like he needs to play with a sort of dominance in this one to where he can defend, because Klingon's a guy who can really just – change the game. On that run that they had, I'm pretty sure he wasn't even taking most of the shots. He was creating the offense from the post, and that's something that Alabama really does struggle with.
And he's going to try and get Nelson in foul trouble really quickly. And so that's when you have guys like Nick Pringle and Sam Walters come in the game, and you're really going to need those two guys to step up and get big.
Pringle, for sure, because he is listed at 6'10". And like I said, he's been really good defensively.
Yes.
So I'm – that kind of leads me to this question. How do they counter that height? Should they double-team him in the post with the guards maybe? Something similar to what Tennessee did with Edie?
I don't necessarily think double-teaming is the right way to go right away.
Maybe on the baseline.
Maybe sneaky, like back cuts, double-team, like when he's got the ball and he doesn't see you and you come up behind, maybe hit the ball out of his hand. Maybe something like that. But you have to understand, UConn has guys that can light you up. Yeah. And if you double-team and you leave somebody open, he's a good enough player where he's going to get the ball out of his hands and he's going to find somebody open to hit a big-time shot. So I think that, you know, push him around, get big, have, like I said, maybe have somebody go backdoor, poke the ball out. But if that's not working, then you can try and go to a double team. But I think stick with what you know for right now and let the game come to you.
Yeah, I'm not really a big fan of doubling players in the post, especially against teams that can shoot the ball very well.
Exactly.
Because it's a death wish. I mean, it's almost like a trap. Like, I'm pretty sure most teams would more than – like to welcome you to double their best player so they can get open looks from beyond the arc. I just think it's a trap, and I don't think you go to that strategy right away. I think if anything, you You double his blind spot, if anything. But I don't think it's very smart to go in, you know, just blindly and, oh, we're just going to double team Donovan Klingon and just forget about everybody else.
Yeah, and I don't think they should double, like, all game. I don't think that should be anywhere in the game plan. But, like, kind of what Michael said, like, they need to get guards that are, you know, going down there consistently and maybe just, you know, poking at the ball maybe. Yeah.
Make him uncomfortable.
Yeah, because Klingon's a guy where he actually has trouble catching the ball a lot. So I think if you really want him to turn it over, it's a possibility that you get the guards down there and make them uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Which, like, I mean, Illinois did not even try to do for some reason. Like, they just let him go one-on-one most of the time. And when they didn't, it was too dang late for them. So I think you have to put your trust in Nelson and Pringle, both of those guys. And whenever there's bust, Alabama's going to have to play the fastest defense that they have the entire season. Like, they're a physical team, don't get me wrong, but the help defense has got to be there at all times. And just switching and stuff like we talked about has to be there. But for UConn, how do you think the Huskies should go about guarding Mark Sears, who pretty much seems to be a guy like D'Angelo Russell, Jalen Brunson type of player, without, like, the height, of course, but just loves any space that you give him. He's going to shoot the ball.
I think that they just have to keep moving. They got to keep moving. They got to, you know, move their feet, get through the screens. Like you said, don't go under them. Yeah, you fight through the screens. But honestly, just, like, get in, like, face guard him. Get in his face. Make him uncomfortable. Talk trash. Like, do
foul, like, him. Honestly, exactly. Like, don't foul him, but, like be physical. I hate saying that, but if you're not being aggressive if you're not fouling. That's like, that's something, like, I was always taught when I played basketball. It's like, if you're not fouling, you're not really playing defense to an extent, or aggressive defense. Yeah. That, so
make his life hard. Make it harder than it needs to be. You know what I mean? Like, just, like, because if you don't, he is going to find space, and he is a good enough player where if he gets his feet set and he goes up in the air, he's going to hit a shot.
And he once he makes two,
it's
in a row,
like
good luck guarding him, because he's going to find a way just through a little bit of space.
That's why I love this matchup so much.
Yeah,
I'm glad you said that, Michael, because I was going to say, I think they should trap off of the screen a couple of times, sacrifice one or two, and then just give them some different looks, because small, witty guards like that, there's nothing they hate more than having their timing disrupted.
Right.
There's nothing a guard would hate more than seeing a screen open up and thinking, oh, I'm about to be open at the top of the key, and no, here comes a double team. Stop the dribble and get the ball out of his hands. Make somebody else do something. I think as long as you give him different looks, obviously play physical, I think they should be all right. And I do think UConn has the means to do this.
Oh, yeah. And one thing about UConn, they have the length. Their guards are huge. Like, absolutely just stellar on defense. That's the one thing that UConn doesn't get enough praise for, is their defense. And it's their defense against the three. And that's what worries me for Alabama is, can you go to the two-point shooting if the three-point shooting doesn't work for you? Because it's kind of like they live and die by it. They have been live and die by the three. But when you got a guy like Tristan Newton out there, you know, going over screens, I just don't see Alabama, you know, having much success with that all night. But coaching-wise, very interesting matchup. You got Nate Oates, who's a very big offensive mind. And then you also have a really other offensive mind in Dan Hurley.
Yeah.
So it's just really going to be really cool to see, like, what adjustments that they make during game, more so than before game. But what interests you kind of between those two coaching styles as they go up against each other?
I'm interested to see how UConn guards the three-point line, just because that's Alabama's bread and butter. And I think you were on record saying, like, Nate Oates tells these guys, like, or he's mad, like, if they're not shooting the ball, like, shoot the ball. Sure. And like you just said, I'm always interested to see how teams respond when their shot isn't falling. If your shot isn't falling, what else can you do to grind out a win, especially against a team as good as UConn is? UConn, they kind of remind me of, like, a 2016, 2017, those Villanova teams that we saw coming.
Yeah, just, like, consistently good,
just consistently
talented,
good, well-coached,
so talented,
disciplined, like, everything you would want in a basketball team.
Right.
So
that's
what I'm interested to see in this matchup.
I'm really just interested to see, like you said, I mean, they're the 3-point defensively from UConn, and then the defensive approach from Alabama and how they do it down low. I'm excited to see
what counter.
What each team is doing to the other team's strength. I'm excited to see how they fight with that, because that's what these coaches do. They look at the other team's strength and then they attack it. And they attack it.
I agree.
And I like that you said that about Nate Oates, because he engraves this thought into their heads that you are hitting the shot. Shoot the ball.
And if that one doesn't go in,
shoot it again.
Next one.
I had a coach tell me it was sort of along the lines of that. He would always say, never stop shooting the ball, because you'll never make the next one.
Yeah.
If you keep
that's what I hate. I get it when teams are, shooting themselves into a hole. When you're 3 for 28 from the 3-point line, maybe try something else.
Yeah.
But say you hit a couple.
But that's their bread and butter. That's the difference.
So you hit a couple, you miss 10, keep shooting. Yeah. They will go in. Yeah. If that's what you do all season, they will go in eventually. Yeah. I think it's going to be a great matchup that goes down to the wire, and I think it's going to come down to the last two stops of the game, and whoever gets those last two stops is going to win the ball game.
I agree. But finally, before we get into who wins this game, finally, who's a player on both Alabama and UConn that has to provide a spark for their respective teams to help them advance to the Natty? First, we can start with UConn.
I think it'll be Klingon. Yeah. And I think the matchup between he and Grant Nelson is going to tell me all I need to know about this game. I'm expecting UConn to win, but I think that's just going to be very indicative to how the rest of this game goes, because I'm predicting that Mark Sears is already going to be disrupted enough as it is, so much so that he won't be as much as a factor as he has been this entire tournament.
And he'll still get his. That's the thing about Mark Sears. Mark Sears scores 20-something points.
Yeah.
Right.
He's going to find a way to score. But I like that pick.
Yeah.
Obviously, Klingon needs to be good. But if Tristan Newton is on while the rest of his guys are playing well.
Yeah.
So if Klingon is playing well and then Tristan Newton starts hitting threes, going crazy, it's over with.
Yeah.
It's absolutely over with.
I have the same pick.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I think that the Alabama defenders are going to be so focused on the post, like you said, and the height differential, that they're going to forget how good Newton is at getting the paint, but also just his entire offensive approach. He can get to the paint. He's so lengthy that, he's so good at attacking with contact finishes. But I think he has a good game.
Yeah.
What about Alabama?
What about him?
What player?
Oh, what do they have to do?
No, what player, yeah. Do you have – did you pick Mark Sears or no?
Yeah, I picked Mark Sears.
Well, I got kind of the same thing. Obviously, Mark Sears gots to be good, but Grant Nelson. Because
– you're going Grant Nelson?
Yeah, I'm going Grant Nelson because Grant Nelson, it's gonna come down to those big guys. It's gonna be down in the post. If Grant Nelson is playing good defense and getting in Klingon's head and getting rebounds and body in the glass, man, got a chance.
If Nelson somehow and Bama pull this off, they're gonna have to put a visual of the dirty jobs, and it's gonna have to be an edit of Grant Nelson. I know Mark Sears is the easy answer here, but I'm actually going in a different direction. I'm gonna say Ryland Griffin. I think he has to have a big game. Had some big shots in that Clemson game, and Alabama is going to have to hope that that he can stop Tristan Newton. He's a 6'6" guard, huge guy. I'm going Ryland Griffin. But who wins this one?
I'm going to go with UConn. I just think UConn has too many layers to him. And even in the way that we're evaluating this game, the thing with Alabama that keeps coming up is the shooting.
Yeah.
And that's really all we've gone over. But with the UConn, I just think there's so much more to their offense, and there's so many more ways that they can win this game than I can envision Alabama doing that.
Yeah.
So based off of that, I'm going to have to go with UConn. I just think they've been the better team all season. They haven't had a close game in a tournament in I don't know how long.
I mean, it's been a while.
It's been a while. So, pretty comfortably UConn.
I think if anybody in this tournament has an opportunity to do it, it's Alabama. They match up well, and this Bama team is red hot at the moment. Mm-hmm. And what do we know about March? If a team's red hot, it's kind of hard to stop them. And I really want to say Bama comes out of this game alive. I really do. I could also see UConn winning by 20. But if the game is close, mm-hmm. give me Alabama.
Okay. I like both those. I really could see Alabama winning it. You know what's the craziest part about all this? UConn is an 11.5 point favorite right now.
Yeah.
That is ridiculous in my opinion.
For a Final Four
matchup. Literally, I'm saying pick Alabama to cover the spread.
They're covering.
And like hammer it. because still with that, I'm going UConn in this one. I think they're clicking on all cylinders.
Yeah.
And it's going to take the best game of the season from the Tide to stop the depth. One thing about UConn, they're so deep. They can score from so many positions.
They have five players averaging double digits.
There you go. But I'm going UConn, man. But moving on, let's go to the other matchup. We have, which will feature Purdue, and star Zach Edey, who has looked unstoppable in this tournament. And then America's team. You have NC State led by DJ Burns and DJ Horn. Mm-hmm. Purdue defeated Tennessee behind Edey's incredible performance as he put up 40 points and 16 boards. Incredible. Even if you hate him, you have to kind of admit that he's been really solid this tournament.
Way to redeem
yourself.
He
does get the whistle. Let's be real. He gets the big man whistle. Yeah.
I wish I was 7'8".
Yeah, we all do, man. But NC State pulled off yet another upset. I really didn't think it was going to happen against Duke. But like I said, a rival in Duke. So if you're NC State, how do you try to even contain Zach Edey? It's kind of like the Caitlin Clark situation because they are so not tall. NC State. Their tallest guy is 6'10".
Yeah.
How do you even try to contain Zach Edey, and do you think there's any way that DJ Burns can hold his own against him?
Man, I don't know. I haven't seen one coach with the answer in 30-plus games this season on how to stop Zach Edey. I would suggest, and I'm sure that they've done this, looking at some film of Florida Atlantic from last year, because I think their tallest player was like 6'5". And Zach Edey was pretty much a non-factor. But I also think Zach Edey is in a whole different mental space this tournament. And you can tell he came with it on his mind, like, I have a mission to accomplish. So I think the obvious answer is rough him up, be physical.
Mm-hmm.
But even with that, I mean, his whistle is insane, bro.
Yeah.
Like he's going to get to the line. And it's not like he's a Shaq to where the point you can send him to the line because you don't have any other options. So you're just going to hope to have to hold your own. And I think, honestly, you're going to have to worry about guarding everybody else. I think you're going to have to let Zach Edey get his and just make sure that you win your matchups all across the board against everybody else.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah, 100%. But, you know, the way to compete with a size like that is size of your own. And even if you don't have somebody who matches you on the height, you have a big old dude in your hand with DJ Burns, 6'9", 275. I know you smiling. I don't even want to hear about your dirty mind. 6'9", 275. And he's a big old dude.
Yeah.
I mean, 7'4" to 6'10" is like, dude.
Well, right. But the whistle is going to be there. But DJ Burns is going to get his,
he is going to
let you know where you are, and he's going to make sure you know that it's his paint too.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I think if you are NC State, you got to look how Tennessee tried to guard him because you also didn't have that much height to counter him, which really screwed them. So at least you have film to watch off.
Mm-hmm.
Of.
Yeah.
But I think DJ Burns, like we said, use that strength, man. He's got strength. Now, he doesn't have the height necessarily, but he's got the frame.
He's pretty big.
He's got the frame. Like I said,
he's a big
that
boy.
Drop step is actually insane.
He's a big boy.
Like, and I was really surprised to see how he had Kyle Filipowski in hell. Like, he literally had him in hell all game. So I do expect doubles down low against Edey. Now, we just talked about Klingon.
Yeah.
We're not going to see much because the height difference is not
bad,
but when you look at how bad it is here, I think you're okay with letting someone else beat you rather than Edey here.
Yeah.
That's kind of where I'm thinking. But with Edey getting all of the attention, like, who do you think Purdue has to rely on if he starts off cold?
I mean, Braden Smith.
Yeah.
Obviously. I mean, he's going to have to use his 43% three-point shooting. And, I mean, that's the obvious answer in my eyes. Yeah. I just think
I'm going to agree with you, too.
Yeah, like Braden Smith, he's a great shooter, great volume shooter, and if they start doubling and leaving him open, he was missing a few shots in that Tennessee game, but if he's on, he's on, and he's not going to miss very many.
And it just feels like he's due. Honestly, he hasn't had like a huge game this tournament, so I'm kind of waiting on it, because in the regular season, Braden Smith was – he was not like the guy, but – He was the second guy, you know.
Yeah.
And not only his 3-point shooting, he's good at getting stops. He's good at a lot of things. I think he had 7 rebounds, 7 assists against Tennessee. So he's just all around. He can create offense. So and that causes problems. What do you think?
Yeah, along with Braden Smith, I'm gonna say Fletcher Loyer, another guy who's shooting 40% from beyond the arc on the season. Purdue is just such a good team, man. Even just when you think you have Zach Edey bottled up, he can dish it out. And he's 7'4", so it's very hard to even disrupt his passes. Yeah. Because let's say you do send the double, he can still see over the double team. So it may not even affect him that much. So I think if Zach Edey can't get it going, which I don't think will be an issue, I think they're going to have to just rely on their shooting more than anything else.
Yeah. And then who do you think North Carolina State is going to have to rely on? If the offense does go cold through and they can't run it through DJ Burns most of the game? I can go first if you want.
Yeah, go first.
I think they're going to have to rely on DJ Horn. When DJ Burns got his second and third foul and got benched in the Duke game, DJ Horn completely took over the game. And that's when DJ Burns was on the bench. So just, you know, I think they have to find a balance of keeping those guys on the court together, because with Purdue being a pretty good defensive team, I think that's really important to keep everybody out of foul trouble and just keep the guys that give you points. And even when Burns is going to need kind of time to rest on the bench, because obviously your guy is going to get fatigued, especially Gordon Edey, I think that's a guy that you really have to go to.
Yeah, I think it'll be DJ Horn too. And it's kind of funny we saying it as if he's like – second fiddle, because he's actually their leading scorer.
As of lately, just have played a different style. Yeah. It's weird.
And maybe I think, well, clearly that's what's best for him. I mean, they've won, 9 straight, I think it is?
Yep.
So, yeah, I think obviously the answer has to be DJ Horn. And obviously you probably feel better about that scoring coming from a guard matchup rather than DJ Burns trying to back down 7'4" Zach Edey every single possession.
You're right.
So, yeah, obviously DJ Horn, but if you look, I look out for Michael O'Connell, the white boy around the perimeter.
I do.
Because he's a transfer. He's going to hit some shots for him. But like you said, I mean, DJ Horn, he's their best player at the end of the day. I mean, he's their best player. He's a great point guard, great passer, honestly, good guard defender, too. Yeah. So, I really think they have a good chance to win this bowl game.
Yeah, so give me a Purdue and an NC State player now. We're going to start with Purdue first, but kind of like we did just now, that has to have a huge game for them to have, you know, a big impact for their teams to advance.
I mean, I'm just going to go obvious. I'm going Zach Edey. Just because, I mean, if he does what he is – like if he scores 40, like they are probably going to win the game. Yeah. And he has an opportunity to do that. Every time he gets the ball, he causes trouble. And it's because all the attention is surrounding him. And so I'm really interested to see what NC State actually does defensively, opposite of what other teams have done throughout this tournament.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
I'm going to go Braden Smith. I just think the kid can do a lot of things well, and getting him uncomfortable is going to be tough to ask for the Wolfpack, just because – I think Purdue, obviously they're going to go to Edey, and all the attention is going to be on him. That they're really just going to have to force somebody else to beat him, and I think Braden Smith is so capable of that.
I think it'll be Zach Edey, and I know that's obvious, but I don't think he's going to have to be great in this game. Mm-hmm. I think he can finish this game with 21-10, and they can walk out of here with a W. I know NC State is a hot team, but I don't think he has to just be off the radar I don't think he has to look like a Wooden Award finalist for them to get a W here tonight. So, yeah, I think you feel pretty good about your chances. If Zach Edey finishes this game with 23-12, 25-12, whatever it is, like he doesn't need 40 to win because I don't think NC State has the offense that Tennessee had to where they needed all 40 of those points.
Yeah. Now for NC State.
I'm going to go DJ Burns, and that's just because, I mean, if he is able to do what he did against Flipowski to Zach Edey, get, you know, fade away, left-handed hook, floater, on the round, drop step. Middies. Yeah, like.
Middies, that's really where it's
mid shot, getting down, and especially getting him in foul trouble. If he is able to get Zach Edey in some sort of foul trouble, so huge for the Wolfpack.
I agree. I'm actually going to take a different turn here again. I'm going to go Muhammad Diarra. He's got to be able to score offensively for this team, especially when the offense just really runs through two guys. And just contain Edey too, because I think they're going to switch back and forth if Burns can't get to him.
Yeah.
And that's the story of this game, because if you contain Edey, you win this game. But who wins?
Oh, I got Purdue.
Yeah.
I think the Cinderella dance ends here.
Short.
It's been a great run. But I just think Purdue is just...
Hero falls to...
Yeah. Falls to
another villain.
Another villain. And it sucks that it has to be Purdue, because nobody likes Purdue.
Nobody likes Purdue.
Real quick, if you don't mind, I want to tell a little bit of history real quick.
Go ahead.
So the last time a 16 seed lost to a 1 seed, the next year they won a natty.
Virginia.
The last team that won 5 games in 5 days, when they did it again, or when they won 5 games in 5 days, they won a national championship.
Oh.
One of these teams is going to do it, and I'm riding with the Wolfpack. I really think that this is the team that can beat Purdue and mess up Zach Edey. I'm loving DJ Burns. I know he's 6'9". I know he's not 7'4", but I really do think that he is going to disturb him and make him uncomfortable. And then look out for those role players like O'Connell and Horn to go in and make shots. So we'll see.
Not so fast, my friend. That's what great Lee Corso would say. I think Purdue blows NC State.
Oh, really?
Oh, wow. Just something. I feel like it's going to happen. But finally, who is your national champion as we approach that? That's going to happen on Monday.
I got UConn, bro.
Yeah.
UConn just looks like... I don't understand it.
Yeah.
I just don't understand.
Until you're convinced otherwise. That's what I have in my notes.
You're that much better than everybody you're playing against, bro. I mean, I cannot fathom a 30-0 run. I didn't watch the game because I was, at a wedding or something.
Against one of the hotter teams in the center, by the way.
Exactly.
I thought Illinois was, like,
But I had to go look at the highlights because I had to see for myself, how did this happen? How do you give up a 30-0 run? So, that type of dominance, man, I got to roll with UConn. I just think UConn is the best team in the country by far. I mean, you got people saying that they could beat an NBA team, which is ridiculous. But that just speaks to how good UConn is.
They're not beating the Pistons.
I agree. I think if UConn gets through Bama, I think I don't care if they're playing NC State or Purdue. I think they're winning the national championship. I do think, though, that if it is Bama, who somehow beats UConn, and I have NC State beating Purdue, I think NC State wins it all if they match up with Bama.
Okay.
But I do think that UConn, if they get through Bama, they win it all.
Yeah, I'm going to go UConn, too. Just like Jaden said, until I'm convinced otherwise, this team is the best in the nation. And, and it's not like they've showed weakness this
they
time.
Haven't.
That's the scariest thing for other teams that are trying to watch film and stuff. This is a completely different team than it was in January and February, So, just with that, I have to go with the Huskies, man.
Yeah.
I think the first repeat since 07 Florida with Joakim Noah and Bradley Beal.
Al Horford.
A team. I think Brad Beal played for that team.
No. Corey Brewer played for
that. Corey Brewer played for that team? I think Bradley Beal was...
Corey Brewer was so tough for them.
Yeah.
I don't think Bradley
Beal. Let me fact check this.
Bradley Beal went to.
He went to Florida. He went to Florida. Yeah.
Wow. That's what I'm saying.
I don't think he was on that.
I have to fact check this before we go on.
I think he got drafted in the 2010, so I know he wasn't on that.
You're right. It was Corey Brewer.
Okay.
And you're right. I think we were ahead of the time, but it was Billy Donovan as the coach still. So
Maurice Spates, Al Horford.
Yeah, just what a throwback. But moving on, we're now going to switch over to the women's side of things. We're going to get through this pretty quickly because, I mean, South Carolina Dogs.
Yeah,
we continue to stay undefeated, and they're going to go on to face NC State. Really weird. We have two, both men's and women's basketball for UConn and NC State in the Final Four. So that's really, really cool to see. Even if you hate both of those teams, I feel like that's such a cool, cool accomplishment. They're going to go on, like I said, play NC State, who pulled off an upset against Texas this past weekend behind Isaiah James's 27-point performance with a messed-up three-point line. Just weird, weird game. Do you think NC State even has a shot? Like, literally, like, that's my question.
I said something to Michael off the air. I'm not going to say it on the air, but I mean, sure, it's anything can happen on any given Thursday.
Don't lie to the people.
Yeah, don't lie.
No.
No, they don't have a chance. No.
It's not happening. South Carolina
not a snowball's chance.
South Carolina is on a mission. They are hungry, and I just don't think NC State is the team.
Jaden is trying to, like, give them, you know, a fighting chance.
I want to, but
And I will for you. I think if NC State can defensively lock down Cardoso, they have a shot of winning this game. Why? Is because their three-point defense is really good, and South Carolina loves to shoot the three ball. So I think if their defense can get it done, it gives them a shot. I'll say it gives them a shot. I won't say they'll pull it off, but it gives them a shot. But what does NC State have to be able to do against a stacked and deep South Carolina team to just even stay in the game?
I mean, hit your shots. Yeah. When you have an opportunity to hit a three, open three, you better hit it. Like, it's one of these teams where, like, if you get an opportunity to score or have a chance to get an advantage or an edge on this team, you better do it or else you're screwed. I don't think they're going to be able to do it. I think they're toast.
Okay.
I mean, he just said it. Like,
yeah. I have just scoring in transition for NC State. And then slowing the game down. South Carolina hates playing a slow-paced game.
Yes.
Remember when they came to Baton Rouge and LSU slowed the game down? They were up by 15 at one point. What does LSU do? Let's speed it up. Let's let them come back in the game. And they lost because of it. So
yeah, let's start jacking threes now.
Yeah, let's start jacking threes just like we
did. Something we're not even good at, but whatever.
Like I said, we're in our feelings a little bit today, but it's all good. As far as South Carolina on offense, who's a player you think has to have a big game for them?
You can take your pick. You can go with Cardoso. You can go with Bree Hall. You can go with Raven Johnson. You can go with Malija Fawiley. You can go with Tahina Pau-Pau. You can take either five of those five players and be like, yeah, this one.
It's a good prediction.
Yeah, she has to have a good game. So it doesn't matter because they're not.
Hey, you don't think it does?
South Carolina is one of those teams where there's not a standout score. Like, oh, this is our leading score. They're averaging 20. Like, no, it's she's averaging 12. She's averaging 11. She's averaging 14. They're one of those teams where they break you down consistently over the course of the game. Like, everybody is going to pitch in.
Yeah.
So I don't think one particular person is going to have to have a
big game.
Yeah,
they're just so balanced. That is a good,
they're so
good point. But, I mean, if you had to pick one, you're picking who?
I'm going to just say Malija Fawiley. I just think she's so fun to watch. Mm-hmm. I think she's going to be one of the best players in college ball. Yeah, she's a six man. But, yeah, I'm going to just say Malija Fawiley just for the hell of it.
I mean, like you said, you can pick any of them. If I have to pick one, I'll go Cardoso. She'll have to do her thing.
6'7",
bro. I mean, she's going to have to do her thing, but they're going to be fine. If she isn't doing her thing, you know, that just gives NC State another opportunity to do something.
More hope.
But
I agree.
I mean, like you said, if one of them isn't playing well, They got four or five, yeah. six other people mm-hmm. that could go and do something. So, right. you know.
Yeah, I'm going to go Tahina Pau Pau. I think she has to be big in this game just because, like I said, the three-point defense that the Wolfpack brings, the defense, I guess, I think it's pretty solid. And I think they're going to make it more difficult than usual. And so I think for anyone, I think Pau Pau is one of the best three-point shooters in the nation.
Yeah.
And, oh, yeah.
And so I think like –
bro, I think she's shooting like 48% yeah. from three.
I think she's – it's weird because I feel like she shoots better with contests than she does.
It happens, bro.
It's weird. But who wins this game?
Give me South Carolina by 40.
Yeah, give me the Gamecocks.
I think it's South Carolina, but I do think it's pretty close. Like, surprisingly, I do think this one's close. But now we're going to move it towards the other matchup as Iowa, who beat LSU behind just what a remarkable performance by Caitlin Clark. 41 points, 12 assists, 7 boards. I mean, yeah.
You can thank Kim Mulkey for that, by the way.
Yeah. But Caitlin Clark is so damn good.
Yeah.
Man. You have to.
She's so good.
Give credit where credit's due. I mean, that was like. Once before we don't even have to talk about LSU but I knew the game was over when you let Caitlin Clark open the game up with three straight threes on three straight possessions because you let her get hot.
Yeah,
that's the one thing you can't do. Like maybe a miss in between, like okay, we can breathe. But
right,
you let her get hot, man. You can't do that
out the gate.
I feel like Caitlin Clark's another player too, who's like, you might as well just double team somebody else because she's just gonna get her points. But if she was to do that, she might just go and shoot 100
points. You heard her in the press conference. She said it's so important for a shooter like herself to get confident early and get comfortable early. And she said as soon as she made a couple, she had all the confidence in the world. So if you allow her to make a couple and get in her groove.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
So after, you know, seeing what Caitlin Clark did to LSU, getting her revenge, do you see anyone even stopping her, like remotely, or even remotely coming close to it?
I mean, nobody can stop her in particular. I mean, yeah, Iowa, yeah, sure. But her, no. Like, Caitlin Clark is going to get hers. I don't care who she's going
yeah.
against.
Yeah. So you just, no shot?
What do you consider stopping her? Beating her?
Slowing her down, I guess.
Oh, I mean, yeah, I think so. You can give her different coverages.
Give yourself a fighting chance.
Give her different looks.
I mean, you can
mix it up.
They've done it
yeah,
before.
Like you can slow her down. She's still gonna drop 24.
Here's the thing.
I just think the difference is you can have her drop 41 like she did yesterday, or you can have her drop 24-26, shooting 8 for 23.
Here's the thing. She could score 24, and the other team wins the game. Like, you just have to cause her to be inefficient.
She's been super
inefficient at times. But for me, like, dude, I don't think anyone's going to even be able to come close to containing her. This is the Final Four we're talking about. This is the Caitlin Clark revenge tour. She don't care who the hell's in front of her. I don't care if it's Paige Beckers. I don't care if it's anyone from South Carolina. I feel like she's going to get hers.
Like, you think they win it all? Is that what you said?
That's not what I said yet.
Oh, my bad.
But, yeah.
I don't think anyone's stopping her.
Like,
yeah.
As far as the other team, go ahead and try. But with Paige Beckers, pretty good on the defensive end. She had three steals last night, 2 blocks. Hold on. Mm-hmm. Who was the primary person she had to guard? It was Juju Watkins.
Juju Watkins.
So that's pretty impressive. So do you see her being able to get Caitlin Clark maybe rattled?
I mean, yeah. How many points did Juju Watkins have last night?
29.
Yeah.
29. Here's the thing, she shot like 9 for 26, though. Juju Watkins was not a good matchup for Paige Beckers, if that
yeah.
makes sense. She had a lot more height. Here's the thing, man. I mean, Caitlin Clark could have had freaking 60 if she wanted to. She had Haley Van Lift on her all damn game. I mean, we're talking the height
difference. Oh, no, not until the last 3 minutes of the fourth quarter. Then Kim decided to put Flaje.
She was like, let's put Flaje.
Yeah. Yeah. Now let's try something out. Yeah.
Yeah, but with like I said, do you think Paige kind of matches up well or better?
Absolutely. Yeah. And it really kind of makes me mad with Paige tearing her ACL twice because
yeah, she's a little
– Paige was supposed to be – everything Caitlin Clark is
yes,
right now.
That's I was about to say that.
So many people completely forget.
But scoring at all levels, not even
I just,
not
honestly,
just a 3-point.
Yeah. Honestly, I know this is going to sound crazy to catch with people.
Hot take.
But I think that Paige is a more complete scorer, a more complete scorer than Caitlin Clark.
I think,
and I don't think that's a crazy take.
I don't think it's a crazy take either. I knew you were going to say it.
I think it's a more complete player. Because Caitlin Clark sucks.
I wasn't feeling that bold. But Caitlin Clark is a brilliant passer. I will give her
brilliant.
She's
Clark,
an amazing passer.
She's just
a floor general.
Yeah, exactly. She's
a complete floor general.
She's good at defense.
Yeah.
Dude, Caitlin Clark.
So I just think, I don't know.
Caitlin Clark on defense yesterday?
I mean, no.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. But yeah, I think Paige definitely, she matches up better than Haley Van Lith.
Yeah,
and I feel bad for Haley, bro.
Seven,
I just
man.
Think
you
it
got
just.
5'7 going up against like 5'11, 6'.
Yeah. But. I'm so excited to see this matchup.
Yeah, me too, man. It's going to be a great game.
Yeah.
I'm very excited too. But as far as UConn's offense, do you think they can keep up with such a dominant Iowa offense? Like we said, Caitlin's, even if she does go cold, she's gonna create offense.
Oh, I definitely think so.
Yeah.
I mean, let's not forget, they do have Gene Auriemma, winner of 11 national titles.
Yeah, we have
And if there's one coach that has seen dynamic players up and down, I mean, who's coach played against Candace Parker, Coach Diana Taurasi, he's played against and coached so many great players.
He's up
comparable
there,
to Caitlin Clark. If there's one coach I'd feel good with going into battle against a player like that, is Gene Auriemma. And I think if anybody has a way just to at least slow her down, because that's about all you can hope for against Caitlin, I think it would be Gene.
Yeah, man, that's why I'm loving this women's tournament right now, man. So it's because anything can happen.
Yeah.
And I really genuinely think that anything can happen in this UConn-Iowa game, especially with the way UConn has been playing and the talent that Paige Beckers has. Obviously, Iowa's talented, and obviously, Caitlin Clark is probably the best player in women's college basketball as of right now.
Oh, yeah.
100%.
That's not a question. Yeah.
But, I mean,
just the amount of stars.
Yeah,
right.
The
amount of stars in this tournament. You look at Angel Reese.
I genuinely think this game could be a buzzer beater type game.
I could see it being down to that. Yeah, to the wire.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like you guys said, it's gonna be interesting to see Paige and Caitlin match up for me.
I don't think they played each other 2 years ago. I have to take that back.
Yeah, they did.
Who won?
Paige.
UConn.
I saw a funny tweet yesterday, after UConn won. I forgot which page posted it, but it was UConn returns to the Final Four for the first time since 2022. And I was are you kidding me?
Whoop-de-doo. I think it's going to be the first test as far as defensively for Clark in this tournament, actually having to contain an elite scorer.
Yeah.
So she's not going to be able to take breaks like she does, kind of like Luka does in the league, just takes breaks on defense. But I think it's going to be a really fun matchup because, I mean, if Clark is forced to play defense for one of the first times in the tournament, she might get in foul trouble. So
honestly, I'm not so sure they'll even have her matched up with Paige.
Don't think so?
I think they know better than to do that. And I just think you don't need
Gabby Marshall,
your best player.
Gabby Marshall legacy game?
Maybe. But you don't need your best player trying to guard Paige Beckers, knowing she's not a defender as it is,
and you want
her to go on the other end and beat Caitlin.
Yeah, it's just a different set of players.
Yeah,
that's all it is.
But who wins? This is the big game, man.
I got UConn, and I'm not saying that from a hater standpoint, but I just think UConn is a more complete team. And I'm really rooting for Paige here, man. I just think, like I said, it sucks the way
Caitlin
stole all of that stardom, bro. All of it. And people have really
maybe
completely
she'll
forgotten
use that as a
Paige.
Chip on her shoulder.
I really
maybe, but apparently Caitlin Clark, she said
Iowa didn't,
UConn didn't want her or whatever.
Whatever.
So
whatever.
Cool.
You're
story,
from
buddy.
Iowa.
You went to Iowa. You weren't going there.
You're
anyway.
From Iowa. And you went to Iowa.
So. But it should be a great game, man. I'm excited to see how it folds out.
Yeah, I agree. I think this is going to be a back and forth game. I can see it going to overtime, and I genuinely think this is going to be one of those games that Caitlin Clark gives us 35-40, and Paige Beckers gives us 30. And we're going to see elite scoring at the women's basketball level. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, it's going to come down to the wire. It's going to be a one possession game. I'm going with the Hawkeyes. I think give me a little prediction. Give me a Caitlin Clark game winner. Why not? Why not?
I'll have to turn my Instagram
off. I will log out of every social media account I have.
But obviously, it's like the Tom Brady thing. It's like I always didn't like Tom Brady just because of how much they won. And that's kind of like the Caitlin Clark thing. And it's like kind of with beating your team. Obviously, we're LSU students, so we're going to pull for LSU. So it's kind of like, dang.
Yeah. You
know, it's like a shot through the heart. But I'm going with Iowa in this one. And I think it's close until the end. But the lack of depth from UConn is really what is going to kill them in this game. Because even last night, they struggled in the first half just to even compete because they had foul trouble. So I'm going with the Hawkeyes. And so who wins the national championship? And
I'm going to go with South Carolina. I think if it's not South Carolina, it'll be Iowa just because I just think Caitlin is going to finish where she started. And
then we'll never hear from Iowa basketball again.
Right off into the sunset, and it'll be a great storybook ending. But I just think logically I'm going to go South Carolina. They just look like the best team from top to bottom. They're also on a mission because they fell short last year. So
to Iowa.
To Iowa.
You don't win – you don't go 36-35-0 for no reason.
Right. Well, they did last year, but I get what you're saying. Yeah.
But I think this is – like, there's not really another team that can – I mean, maybe Iowa that can really mess them up like they did last year.
Yeah, I could legitimately see Iowa lose. I mean, Iowa winning it all. But
I mean, yeah, I can too, obviously, but I'm gonna roll with the Gamecocks.
You're going with the Gamecocks. I'm also going with South Carolina still, and I really think it's like back and forth for me because I feel like you said, the storybook ending, it just feels like.
Well,
you look at the storybook ending for South Carolina, who's getting revenge.
But I will say, South Carolina has like an entire different starting five.
That's what I'm saying. And they have depth.
That's what makes their record that much more impressive. Like, they have a whole new squad.
I watched Iowa starters yesterday. They really didn't impress me other than knocking down some, like, wide-open threes. But you're supposed to be able to do that.
Kid you not, I think there was, like, a 4 to 5 minute period where I didn't see anybody else from Iowa score but Caitlin Clark.
That's what I'm saying. That's how good she is. But it should be very interesting if they do match up in the national championship game. So,
any of these matchups, man.
I think it – except really NC State because, like –
nobody wants to see them in there. I'm sorry.
Unfortunately for them, just because like you have all these stars and then you got NC State.
Yeah.
So. but guys, it's time. It's time for the Poo Poo Broussard of the week, and we've got some. Boy, do we have some candidates for you this week. This goes out to the worst performance, whether that's a player, a team, a coach, a GM, fan base, you name it. Jayden, you want me to start with you?
We can, man. I just.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Kim Mulkey. I gotta do this, but you are my poo-poo bursar of the week. And I just think... What game plan? We didn't have a game plan. The game plan was, let's just hope Caitlin Clark doesn't make a shot. That was the game plan. And I just think it sucks that we went out there, like I said, with no game plan. We didn't know what to do. We didn't make any adjustments throughout the course of the game. Oh, my bad. I forgot the last 3 minutes of the fourth quarter where she put Flajay on Caitlin. My bad. But outside of that, we didn't make any adjustments to the point where it would have actually mattered in the outcome. And as a result of that, now we have Haley Van Lith being scapegoated all over Twitter. Like, she was supposed to do something about that. Caitlin Clark probably would have done that to anybody.
Like, bro, and it's just sad because, like, why would you put a 5'7" guard on somebody who can't even, like... their hand doesn't even reach her freaking shot.
Yeah. Like, there's no way Caitlin saw any of her contests.
Everybody's going to see the picture of Haley like,
what do I do?
Everybody's going to see it. But that's a good poo-poo. So say it again, man.
Kim Mulkey, you are my poo-poo broussard of the week.
Well, me and Michael have pretty similar ones. So
I changed mine up. You can go first.
So I'm going with the easy one here. I'm going Ben Bulch, Los Angeles Times. Oh. I think we all know why.
Yeah.
Call the LSU team a quote-unquote bunch of dirty debutantes, which I'm not even going to say what that is here. It's not even appropriate for this podcast. I'll let the viewers go out and look it up for themselves and then compare UCLA's – he compared UCLA's team to milk and cookies, man.
And said we were Louisiana hot sauce.
I like Louisiana
hot
sauce.
I love Louisiana hot sauce.
That's what
I'm
saying. I think it's disgusting how journalists like this are kind of able to publish work like this, attacking young players literally 18 to 22 year olds who are literally just trying to play the game that they love and win a national championship. I think it's ridiculous. And I don't even know how the editors got away with letting this be published. Right. Caught him sleeping.
And then to make it worse, you come back after the backlash and be like, oh, I'm sorry
about
that. And
then you put a whole apology statement.
Yeah, like, no, you're not. No,
no, you're not. So for that, the entire Los Angeles Times.
Yes.
You are my Poo-Poo Broussard of the week. That was too easy.
Yeah, I had that one. Like, I was going to do it. I wanted to switch it up because I figured you were going to do the same thing.
We thought it was going to – I actually did kind of think it was going to be a triple
C. Yeah, I thought it was going to be three people doing that. So I'm changing mine up. I'm even switching sports. I'm wearing this White Sox jersey, right? I'm sadly a White Sox fan. Chicago White Sox, you are the poo-poo Broussard.
The whole team?
Oh, the whole organization, the GM, the everything. It's just, I mean.
Braves, man.
First of all, terrible. I mean, you're 0-4. We play tonight, 6-10. And we will probably lose. But anyways, last night. Or yesterday, we played the Atlanta Braves, and in about the 7th, 8th inning, it was time for us to go up to bat. Well, they had to stop the game for 10 to 15 minutes because we didn't have our first base coach. He vanished. He just disappeared. And
got nervous.
They didn't have the first base coach. Then they couldn't find the helmet with the technology for you to go out there and be the first base coach. So it took 10 to 15 minutes while the other pitcher is just sitting out there in the rain warming up for an extra 10 to 15 minutes.
Here's the thing, man. Do you really think they needed a first base coach? You know why? Because they weren't getting on base either way. The White Sox were crying out loud.
Man. It's just so annoying to 3 or 4 years ago being looked at in the preseason. Like, 3 or 4 years ago, in the preseason rankings, we were, like, looked at to be one of the most dangerous teams in the American League. You want to know what happened that season? We finished second to last in the division. Like, what do you even do? Maybe we should move to Nashville. Like, I don't know what's going on, man. But Chicago White Sox, you are my poo-poo Broussard of the week.
Too easy, boys. Too easy.
Bad.
But, yeah, I mean, that's some good ones. We also could have put Rashee Rice in there. Maybe. It's not even confirmed yet, so that's why I kind of steered away from it. Steered away from it.
Get it?
Where's the? No, I can't even find it, guys.
What, like the sitcom laugh?
Yeah, I can't even find it. we just won't even do it. That will do it here for us today. Thanks to Michael and Jaden for joining me here on this
Not Calm Little Tuesday.
it pains me to say that.
Our season is really over, bro.
But I'm Andre Champagne, and this has been the Hodges Huddle.